class. Yesterday, a good friend of mine, Zev Belsky, came over to me and said, Rabbi, you once asked a question about davening at the Kotel and all the issues that come up with davening at the Kotel. You never answered it, so please give a 10-minute halacha share on the topic. So, in honor of Zev Belsky, and he made a bat mitzvah last night, so in honor of the family Simcha, we're going to discuss the issues that come up with davening at the Kotel, but it's not only davening at the Kotel, it's davening at, you know, shtibalach, or any time where there's lots of minyanim going on. There's a whole set of issues that come up when there are lots of minyanim going on in the same place. For example, you're a kohen, and another minyan is up to Kriyas HaTorah. You don't need this Kriyas HaTorah. They don't have a kohen in their minyan. Are you obligated to jump into that minyan so that you can be the kohen at that minyan? What about Birchas Kohanim? Do you have to, like, as you're passing by every minyan, that's up to Birchas Kohanim, do you have to go and be misbarech by each minyan? Are you allowed to walk to and from your minyan? Because you're going to, by definition, you have a daven at the Kotel at a crowded time, or even a not so crowded time, you're going to be walking in front of people who are davening. You have to answer amen to everything that's being said at every minyan. So you have all sorts of issues. So the place to look when you have these issues, when you want to talk about issues that come up at the Kotel, is the Shalos Tshuvos Sha'arei Tzion, because the Shalos Tshuvos Sha'arei Tzion was written by Rav Rabinovich, the Rav of the Kotel and the Mekomos HaKadoshim. So he wrote two volumes of Shalos Tshuvos about Inyanei HaKotel Ma'aravi v'Mekomot HaKadoshim. So in the Tshuvos Sha'arei Tzion, I have two volumes here. I think so far it's two volumes that I have. Maybe there are more already, but I don't know. So we'll discuss some of the shailas that he discusses. So one of the things he discusses is, what if you're hearing Birchas Kohanim from many different minyanim? So what he gets into a little bit is whether there's a chiyuv on a Yisrael to be misbarech from Kohanim, or it's only a chiyuv on the Kohen to be mevarech. And that turns out to be a machlokas Rishonim. In the Sefer Charedim, he writes, Mitzvah Saseh Levarich Kohen Es Yisrael Shenemar Kosevarch Esmei Yisrael V'Yisrael La'omdim Panim K'neged P'nei HaKohanim B'Shtika U'mechavnim Libo Mechal B'Bachas M'Tavar Hashem Heim Nami B'Chlal HaMitzvah, that the Yisrael who's sitting there and being misbarech is included in the mitzvah. The Mabit in Sefer Yigeres Derech Hashem writes, HaKohen She'Yivarech Es Yisrael V'Yisrael Yekablu Birchaso V'Lo Yomar Matoel Birchas Hedyo. He shouldn't look at the coin and say, oh, I sat next to that guy in Shir, he doesn't know anything, what do I need a bracha of such a hediot? So you don't say that, rather you accept the bracha and you eagerly accept the bracha. Bichlal ha-mitzvos. You are including those in the mitzvos. And the Raivin in Maseches Tamid at the end of the sixth parak also emphasizes the role of the Yisrael, and now the Kohen is Motzi the Yisrael Yidei Chavasim. On the other hand, the Ritva Masecha Sukkah says that there's no chiyuv, Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, there's no chiyuv of Yisrael to be misbarech, it's a mitzvah of the Kohen. Minchas Chinuch points out that the Ritva is in disagreement with the Charedim, with the Sefer Charedim, not the group of people called the Charedim, the Sefer Charedim. In the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, or Chayim Simchuv Samach Zayin, he says that's the opinion of the Rov HaPoskim, though, that there's not really a requirement of Yisrael to be misparech. The Orcha Shulchan, Orchaim, Simkuv Chav Ches, if Dalid writes, Veda, sheyesh mi shakasov, shegam ala Yisrael, yesh mitzvah, sheyisparech, that there are those that say that Yisrael does have a mitzvah, velav dafkahu, vehechon matzin, a mitzvah sasezu. He says it doesn't really mean it, because there is no place where we find such a mitzvah. Rather, it's a chiyuv alav lisparech meyakwadim, v'nemeinu choshesha, havikiboit, pibrechos, shakonish baruchu, v'roi la'onish. It's just unseemly. Someone is being mevarech you, and you're not accepting the bracha, so it looks like you're not interested in the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to realize that the brachos that the Kohanim are giving you are not their own brachos. They are the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he goes on a long, long, long tshuva about this, but he says, lahalacha we paskin, that there is no chiyuv to be misparech, but there's a kiyum asay, or misayela asay at least. You're helping, the Kohen can't do the mitzvah without someone on the other end, on the receiving end, so you're helping the Kohen. So chazan that's behind the Kohanim, if he's able to move behind where the Kohanim are during Chazar Shatz to be Panim connected Panim, he should do that if possible. And someone who's Nisbarich, there's an Indian Lisbarich Shuv to get a bracha again, but there's no Chiyuv to do so. So you don't have to hop around every minion at the Kotel to get your bracha for Birchas Kohanim. He then has another tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simin Chavav, where he discusses, let's say you're davening at the Kotel, and there's a minion right next to you that's saying Kedusha. Do you have to stop in the middle of your Shmon Esrei for their Kedusha to be Yotze with their Kedusha? Or can you, or let's say you get right up to Mechaya Mesim right at the time that they're a Kedusha. So do you respond to their Kedusha? So he quotes from the Sefer Isha Yisrael Paraklam Gimel Sif Zayin, that if you're in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash and you get to the Bracha Mechaya Mesim, you and you hear a Kedusha from the neighboring minion, you do not have to answer Kedusha with them, but you're allowed to answer Kedusha with them. And this is what he quotes from the Kaf HaChaim in Simen Kuf Tes Si'if Lamed Aleph. If you're not in the bracha of Mechayim Mesim, you're somewhere else, and they're saying Kaddish or Kedusha in the neighboring minyan, Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek Rav Sim Gimel Oz Dalet writes, you should not answer. And he says that that Yesh Ladon Bazeh that Tzibur Lachoshish Zeh Dikim Deim Oskim B'Mitzvah D'Tfila L'Chein Peturim Mi'Mitzvah Acheres Shel Lanos L'Kedusha L'Kaddish or Kedusha. He says, you know, you're engaged in your own mitzvah, and when you're engaged in your own mitzvah, you're pater from doing other mitzvahs. Then he discusses, let's say they're saying, should you say tachlun when there's a bar mitzvah? So normally what happens? There's a reason not to say tachlun in shul. Let's say there's a bris at a shul. So which minyan doesn't say tachlun? Certainly the minyan that the bris is at. Any minyan that's davened at by the aviyaben, the moel or the sandik, davens at does not say tachlun normally. What about every other minyan that's going on in that shul that whole day? Do you say tachlun? And what would that mean for the kotel? There's a bar mitzvah at the kotel, so they're not saying tachlun. So then every minyan at the kotel doesn't say tachlun. So he says it's not even so pashut when there's a bar mitzvah at shul that you don't say tachlun. That itself is not so pashut. He points out that the minhag of svaradim is that if there's a bar mitzvah who's putting on tefillin for the first time on the day of his bar mitzvah, so tefillin are called the pe'er, and therefore they do not recite tachlin. But only when you have that, and that's how Rav Vadia writes in Yabi Omer, Chelik Aleph Simen Chav Zayin, Chelik Aleph Simen Yud Dalet, and in Yechaveh Dat Chelik Beis Simen Tezvah. Ashkenazim, the minhag is to say tachnun even on a bar mitzvah, and that's what Rav Binyamin Zilber writes in Oz Nidbru, Chelek Rav Simen Mem Ches. But by Chasidim, he says, some do like the Munkacher writes in Darkei Chaim B'Shalom, Oskuf Tzadi Beis, who did not say tachnun when there was a Bo Vayom bar mitzvah at in that place. But if the Tzitz Eliezer points out in Chelik Yerches Simen Nun Gimel that if you say you don't say, if the reason you don't say tachlin is because he's putting on tefillin for the first time, those who put on tefillin before their bar mitzvah, which I think is the majority of us, most people put on tefillin at some point before the bar mitzvah, there would never be a reason not to say tachlin, not on account of putting on tefillin for the first time, because alone that's not enough of a reason, nor on account of a bar mitzvah, because alone that's not enough of a reason. You would need the combination of the two reasons together to even have a discussion about saying tachlin, but it would seem that would be limited to those who are celebrating the bar mitzvah. So even though it becomes like a little bit of a scene at the kotel, and you have, you know, especially about the Sephardi bar mitzvahs, we have all the la-la-las, and they have the the shouting and whatever, you know, so it's very festive, you know, all around. But you would imagine that only the immediate minion is the one that's really besimcha and really does not say tachlin. So I don't think you could just go visit the kotel every Monday and Thursday and then get out of your long tachlin. What about walking in front of someone davening? So this is a shaili he deals with in Chelek Aleph Simin Chaf Tes. Gemara in Brachos tells us, Brachos Chav Zayin Amaral, Rav Ikla Lebei Geneva Vitzali Shal Shabbos Berav Shabbos Rav Matzah Yirmiya Bar Abba Achorei Derav. Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba was davening behind Rav. V'siyem Rav Lo Paskil Tzulsi Rav Yirmiya. Rav finished davening and was not posek the tefillah of Rav Yirmiya. And the Gemara says one of the three things we learn from Rav's behavior is sha'asur lavar keneged ha'mispalim, that you're not allowed to walk in front of people who are davening. Rashi explains lo paskil susi means he did not pass in between Rabbi Yirmiya and the wall, meaning you're not supposed to walk in front of someone who's davening. The person who's davening is supposed to be up against the wall. You're not supposed to walk in between them and the wall. And we pass in this in Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Beis Sif Dalet, Asur la'avor k'negadam spalim b'toch tal ramos v'dafka lifneim al v'steim mutalav v'lamur. In front of them, b'toch tal ramos, you're not allowed to go. And there are two reasons given by poskim. One is that you're mevatel the person's kavana. It's distracting when someone's walking in front of you while you're davening. And the other reason is that you're being mafsik b'na mespalel l'shchina. Exactly what that means, I don't think any of us could be sure. But that in some way, you're hindering the presence of the shchina during that tefillah by crowding it out, you know, in that area right in front of the person who is davening. It's not the only sugya. There are other sugyas that also imply a similar type of halacha. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei and Beis, minayin l'mespal shal yei dover chotzeitz beino levein akir. How do I know that you're not allowed to have something interposing between you and the wall? The Gemara quotes a pasuk, and it's pasuk in Shulchan Aruch Simit Sadi. Not to have something chotzeitz beino levein akir. Now that obviously can't possibly be fulfilled by everybody. Meaning, can you imagine a shul where everybody was davening up against the wall? How would you have to shape the Beis HaKnesses in order to make it that everybody could be right up against the wall? You'd have random walls in the middle of the room. You'd have one very long bit. So Mishnah Berurah writes, obviously it's not feasible that everybody could be makpid about this. So it's obviously it's not a requirement. It's the best thing to do. There's also Gemara Brachos of Lamanim Beis that tells us, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Levi Mikansha also leishev b'toch arba amashal tefila. You're not allowed to sit down within dalar amos of tefila, but that might even relate to not in front, it might even be on the side and behind the person, that within dalar amos of tefila, it's sort of like kona makomo in the dalar amos of tefila. So what are the kulas? So he points out in that shuvin, some chavtas os dalid, I think five or six different kulas. Number one, he says, the Eishel Avram writes me, Bachach, that litzorich mitzvah you're allowed to do it. That if let's say you need to go in front of somebody for to catch a kaddish, a kedusha, a baruch hu, that's good enough. If Shlomo Zalman and Aliyah Shlomo Perek Dalid, Ostam Gimel, if a kohen needs to go duchen and he's got to wash his hands and come back, or even if a person needs to go to the bathroom, that's considered enough of a litzorich mitzvah that he's allowed to go in front of someone who is davening. In the Das Torah, the Marsham, Simon Kov Bey writes that if you're in a place where there are a lot of people, and the guy should realize that there are a lot of people there, so he's considered like someone who's mazik as a rabbim, and you're allowed to move someone out of the way when they're mazik as a rabbim. So rather than pick him up and move him out of the way, that'd probably be even more distracting than walking in front of him, so we would be makel to walk in front of him. Or another kula, the Sefer, he quotes from the Sefer Minag Yisrael Torah, and also from the Eshel Avram, which is where the Minag Yisrael Torah gets it from, that if the person's eyes are closed, that would be good enough because you're not going to distract him. With Levinsal just points out, yeah, you won't distract him, but as far as crowding out the Shechina, that L'chora doesn't help. Rav Shlomo Zalman had another Chiddush. He says, Ein Adam Oser Dover She'eno Shelo. A person cannot answer something that does not belong to them. And therefore, they don't have rishus la'amol sham. If they don't have rishus to stand there and stop other people from using a public area, so if it's, you know, if it's in the shul and they're standing by their makom, so they have rishus to be there and to stop other people from walking right in front of their makom. But a person is standing right in the middle of the the Kotel Plaza and expect that no one's going to walk by, he doesn't have rishus to do that. And if you know that you're davening in a place where people are obviously going to disrupt you, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, ihu da'afsid anafshei, it's your own fault and you got to live with that. He also quotes a Tzitz Eliezer that says that nowadays nobody has kavana anyway, so you don't have to worry about disrupting people's kavana because there's no such thing as kavana. That is not a very cheerful comment of the Tzitz Eliezer, but that's what the Tzitz Eliezer suggests. Maybe we'll just do one more Kotel related issue that he discusses in Chelek Beis Simen Ches. He says, what if you are a kohen and they call up someone else? There's a minion next door that doesn't have a kohen. So normally, if there's a kohen in a shul, even though he's not davening in that minion, and he's not trying to be yotzei the chiv of kriyas ha-toru with that minion, the tzibur has an obligation to call him to fulfill the mitzvah of vikidashto. The kros harishon, to call up the kohen first, even if he already got an aliyah that day in a previous minyan, there's a chiyuv to give him that aliyah. Dilo kesefer ovar orach shebesov sefer orchos chayim. Now parkasta da'anya in this shuvin chilgal simkovayin test is in disagreement with a previous sefer that says that there's no chiyuv to give a kohen an aliyah if he's not part of your minyan. But in this case, it could be that a Kohen has special permission to be mochel, because the Mishbura writes in some Kufla Amadeisiv Katan Tess, Le'inyan likros b'torah beis ha-knesses tikri chazal mipnei darkei shalom shein ha-kohen v'alevi yichol nimchol. Because of darkei shalom, chazal were masakein, that a Kohen can't say, no, it's okay, call up a Yisrael. And once that happens, which Yisrael they're going to call up, and who he's mochel for, he's not mochel for, it'll be World War III. Eladavka Kohen kore rishon v'achrov levi v'achrov Yisrael kadesh lo yova adover lidei machlokas. We just don't want machlokas to happen. Everyone's going to say, ani gadol v'achro rishon, you know, I deserve it. Whether they'll have the lack of class to say that explicitly, or they'll be thinking that, or they'll, you know, hint to it. Either way, it's not going to be good for Shalom, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's Shabbos, Yontif, Sheni, V'chamishi, any other time that there is a Kriyas HaTorah. In Shaar HaTzion over there, Mishbura writes that the Gemara says Beis HaKnesses, that it's Mashma Dafkin Beis HaKnesses, where there are a lot of people where they can come to fighting. But you're davening with Stam, a private minion, and there aren't so many people there, so there aren't too many people to fight with. Maybe we don't have to be so makpid about this. But there is this Nidon, whether one is allowed to be Mochel. So in the Tshuvas Shnos Chaim is even more makel, and he says that if the Kohen doesn't want the Aliyah for whatever reason, and he's mochel, you can call the Yisrael b'mekom Kohen, and the Gabbai should say b'rishus ha-Kohen. And he quotes Rav Moshe says the same way, and Tshuvas Tilul David says that was the minhag in Europe, that the Kohanim did not leave the shul when they needed to give the Aliyahs to other people. Rather, they just said b'mechilas ha-kohanim. The Rav Moshe allows this at Mincha on Shabbos, Sheni v'Chamishi. He does not allow it Shabbos at Shacharis, because people are a little more uptight about their aliyos Shabbos at Shacharis for some reason. For some reason, Sheni v'Chamishi, Shabbos at Mincha, people don't really care as much. But in a case where the Kohen's not even davening with the Tzibur, says Rav Rabinovich, of course he's mochel. He doesn't have any interest in jumping into every minion, unless he's like a quirky kind of Kohen, you know, that for shtick wants to jump. You know, he's the kind of guy that photobombs everyone's, you know, so he'll minion bomb everybody. But regular Kohen, I think, would probably not mind at all. A reminder of Shachta told me he once got an aliyah in the great synagogue in Yerushalayim, and they gave, and Rabbi Lam Shlita was also davening at the same minyan, and they gave Rav Shechter Shlishi, and Rav Shechter felt badly that Rabbi Lam, his boss, Rabbi Lam is older than him, and like, what are they giving him Shlishi for? And he felt very awkward about it, because this is the way Rav Shechter thinks, like it's like inappropriate to give Rav Shechter Shlishi when Rabbi Lam is there. So Rabbi Lam got Ravi'i, and he said, Rabbi Lam got up to the Torah, and he said to Rav Shechter, what bracha do you make on Ravi, Rav Hershel? I never got Ravi before. I don't know. So he said he broke the ice, and he made him more cheerful. Okay.